I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
You know, it's a big deal when a European champion walks in your studio here. We got people running around. We're getting water. We're getting paper. We got two producers working it here. It's an incredible opportunity we have in a moment. Before we get to this, real quick here, DaspitLaw.com. John Daspit, who runs that company, supports this show. Treats every case as if it's his own. 713-364-0915 or toll free at 888-273-1045. By the way, bilingual, English and Spanish, they work for you 24/7. So whether it's a boat, car, chemical exposure, oil field, industrial, 18-wheeler, motorcycle, medical, it's DaspitLaw.com. Look, in your time of need, when there's a lot of nervousness and urgency to get things sorted out, you need a good lawyer. It is John Daspit. It is DaspitLaw.com. All right, we welcome you back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. And we have a real treat here tonight because not only do we have a European champion in here, a Liverpool legend, but Alan Kennedy joins us now, 61 years of age, twice won European Cups. Wait, well, I got a birthday next week.
You know, 61.
And he looks great. And he looks great, and he's here in Houston with the Liverpool supporters group locally here. Have gotten you in here, and it's a rare treat for all of us to.
It's a treat for me to be here. It really is. I'm really enjoying being here, and I've been well looked after, I have to say as well. So had a great time, and this isn't the only place I've been to. San Diego, as well, went there a couple of days ago, and again had a very very good time.
What's your first impressions of Houston?
Very clean, very tidy, very nice, great people. The people I've met so far have been wonderful and have allowed me to, get a drink out of them, which has been very nice. That's not alcohol. I'm not, obviously, right. Don't do that sort of thing.
Alan Kennedy joined us. I saw your schedule, Alan. You're going to be over at the Gorgeous Gale watching the Europa League. We're hopefully going to get it all set up for you.
Yes.
I don't think there'll be any question to go to the Dynamo LA game. Steven Gerrard's a good friend of yours coming in with
wonderful,
the Galaxy.
Wonderful. I did text him and I did email him and he's sorting something out for me, either before the game or after the game. So that should be nice, and it'll be great to see him again. He's a great, great guy. He really is, and he's put his heart and soul into Liverpool Football Club over the last 17, 18 years, and now he's over here for a couple of years, and the impression I get, he's enjoying it so much.
Yeah, I think he can walk the streets a little bit easier here. Hey, you know, what you just said, though, is fascinating because this is Liverpool Football Club, right? I mean, the continuing relationships that are built, the history, the tradition, get into all of that because, our football league here is very young. We do have history in this country, but Liverpool's dates back so far. European Cups, which you scored a goal in a final, we'll talk about that. But just talk about the tradition and history that goes with the players and the fans.
Well, the history probably started, the late history we're talking about, with Bill Shankly. He came to the club in 1959 and he transformed it from being a second division team into a top first division team within 5 or 6 years. They won a prestigious competition in the FA Cup. But before that, even there was a guy there called Bob Paisley, and Bob was like always in the shadows of Bill Shankly. Bill Shankly, a great guy, very outgoing, had his principles, stuck by them, and you know the trophies started to roll in. And when he retired, and it's so funny this, because after the 1974 FA Cup final, they beat Newcastle 3-0. And
one of your former clubs.
Yeah, unfortunately. I was actually playing.
For Newcastle.
For Newcastle in the game. I was very young at the time, as you've mentioned, my age. So we can say I was 19.
Are you mad at me for that?
No, I'm not. Of course
not.
Don't
worry, I'm aging at the same rate you are. You know?
We're all getting older, aren't we? So Liverpool obviously looked at a guy called Terry McDermott, and they looked at me. And thought I was a bit too young to come to Liverpool at that time. They got Terry McDermott, and 4 years later, I managed to sign on the dotted line for Bob Paisley, the manager at that time. But Bill Shankly retired on the back of like winning one of the biggest competitions in English football.
Unbelievable. Incredible names you're putting out here, too. And I want to talk to you about where you grew up, Alan, because I've been to Northern England. I've been to Whitley Bay in the Newcastle area.
And
I spent
it's cold,
a summer
isn't
there.
It? It's very cold, isn't it?
That's, yeah. Well, they thought I was crazy because I actually went in the ocean. It was
you
summertime.
The ocean,
I was nuts. Well, what's this American kid doing? But talk about just such football history out there.
Every kid plays football. And I know you call it soccer. To a certain extent over here, but every kid played football back in the 50s and 60s. Every kid wanted to play for their local team. And I got the chance to play for my local team at that particular time, which was Newcastle United. I wasn't born in Newcastle. I was born in the other part of the northeast, which was Sunderland. And but I ended up slipping through their net and ended up playing for Newcastle, and mainly because my brother was a professional footballer as well. He was slightly older than me, and I was always following in his footsteps. And he was a great player, and went on to play several games for Newcastle, but a lot for a team called Bury in the old fourth division. So he had a great life out of it as well, and his son now plays for Bury as well, so they've done really well. But going back to the point about kids playing football, that's all they ever did. That's all they wanted to do. They wanted to follow, you know, in their heroes' footsteps at that particular time. And the Northeast was a hotbed of kids just running around and enjoying themselves. There wasn't anything else to do, can I tell you? So we ended up a lot of them playing football, and I was lucky. I was one of the lucky ones.
He's Alan Kennedy joining us in studio, 1981, the European Cup Final. Alan Kennedy is with Liverpool. They take on Real Madrid at the Parc des Princes in Paris, 48,000 people. You scored the game-winning goal. Just take me back to that day, and just take me back to some of the fondest memories of that day. Maybe some things you've never even said before, if you can come up with them, because I just, the sight, the smell, the way you played, anything, locker room.
Yeah, being in you talk about the locker room beforehand, Bob Paisley's the manager. There were several injury problems. I was one of them. I'd broken my wrist in the semi-final against Bayern Munich. And so I was really not scheduled to play. There was other players that were jockeying for my position. Kenny Dalglish had been injured in the semi-final as well, so he was struggling. But I think Bob Paisley, the manager, just wanted to put his strongest team out just to show Real Madrid that, you know, that we're okay. And when he named the team, I was absolutely buzzing. I was jumping for joy. I said to myself, thank you, Bob Paisley, for giving me the chance to play in a European Cup final. And, you know, when you look back on it, you'll think to yourself, I thought to myself, how can I ever repay the man? Well, 81 minutes later, I ended up scoring the goal. And it was something I thought to myself, you know, that man deserves it. Bob Paisley, you know, I didn't really play under Shankly, but Bob Paisley was probably the greatest manager of all time. And we talk about what Sir Alex Ferguson has achieved at Manchester United, but there's other great managers, I promise you, at that particular time as well. But Bob's record is unsurpassable.
Obviously so influential to you. Do you think about him every day?
Is there
a moment in a day where he pops up?
Well, the history does come back into my head every day. Yeah. I do think about the past. I think about the good old days. I compare them with the newish days. But I do think that, you know, they were great, great times. And a lot of people will remember those times that, you know, we won trophies. And that's what Liverpool was all about.
Bob Paisley, the manager for Alan Kennedy. Alan Kennedy in studio right now. So that's the 1981 European Cup final. By the way, that goal I posted on Facebook, Soccer Matters. Go over and see it, because you just take off behind the goal after scoring it with your arms up in the air.
Yeah,
it was fantastic.
There wasn't a problem about thing. There was 81 minutes gone in the game, and it's actually looking as though we're going to go to extra time. And I said to Phil Thompson, my captain, I said, Phil, let me go. Just give me a chance to go forward. And he said, go on then. Just do it. Go on. Go on. Be a devil. And I ran forward not expecting what was going to happen, because Ray Kennedy, my namesake, is on the left-hand side. He's got the ball. He threw the ball in, and I chested it down. Their big centre-half. I remember him, the centre-half, coming in. Now, he's coming in to take me out, and he brushes past me. I slightly knock him off, and all of a sudden, it's a case of, like, what do I do next? Do I have a go at goal? I'm 10 yards from goal, or do I look at the far post? And I saw my colleague, and I remember Bob Paisley always saying, you have to have options. And I looked at my option, I saw a guy called David Johnson. I thought, there's no way in the world I'm giving the ball to him, because he might miss the opportunity. And so I took the ball on one stride, hit the ball perfectly near post. Now, the goalkeeper made the angle a little bit easier for me, because he slightly went to his left-hand side. So he's left a little bit of a gap there. The ball went into the back of the net, and then I ran and ran and ran.
Loved your goal celebration.
If there were gates there, honestly, I would have been out the gates.
Yeah, you took
off. It was unbelievable. And then I had to stop, because the Liverpool fans were trying to get on the pitch, and there was a moat stopping them, you know, full of water and then David Johnson came over, and he just looked at me. I can't tell you the words. I can't tell people the words that he said to me, but he wasn't happy.
I have a feeling I know what
he said,
might have been.
He said something like, why didn't you pass to me?
Yeah.
But in his words, like, you know, and I said, well, what do you expect me to do? Like, you know, I just had to do what came into my head at that particular time. And it was the winning goal, which was wonderful. You know, I did it for the fans. I didn't do it for myself. I didn't care if Dalglish or David Johnson or Terry McDermott scored the goal. It was about winning the game. The winning the game was important to Liverpool. You know, we've had some games where we struggled. Maybe we weren't as good at our best, but you win the game.
He's Alan Kennedy in studio here, recounting probably the most redundant question I could have asked you, right? Describe your goal from the European Championship. And I can see just how passionate you are about that. You know, let me just take you into something you just said. You did it for the fans.
Mm.
How much different does the modern game from that perspective look? I mean, you got social media now, you got guys making themselves brands. Is that hard for you to look at sometimes? I mean, or is that just the natural progression of where the game has come now?
I think that's where the game has gone, I'm afraid. And if we look back, we're not solely blaming, you know, when foreign players came to this football, or came to any football club. It's just, we had foreigners in our day. We had them from Scotland. We had them from Wales. We had them from...
are foreigners.
they were foreigners. We had the English players. I mean, you know...
Stevie Nicol got over there as well.
What a player. We'll talk about him maybe in a couple of minutes, but you can spend hours on him, because he was just the guy that filled in for everybody. You know what? He came to Liverpool in 1981 from Scotland, and we couldn't find him a position. That was how good the players were. Phil Neal, who played on the right-hand side, I played on the left. He could play in our position just as well as what we could, but he couldn't get into the team because Bob Paisley wouldn't change the team. He wouldn't bring in a new kid until he'd served his apprenticeship. And
it's a lot different now.
A lot different.
Isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You're expecting 18 and 19-year-olds to make the jump right away and not go through the apprenticeship. And, I mean, the apprenticeship was real stuff. I mean, you were sorted out by the veterans.
Well,
you were doing work for them. You're cleaning their shoes.
Yeah.
All kinds of differing things.
It's not now. I can tell you that for a fact. It's not now. Terry McDermott came to Liverpool in 1974, and it took him about 18 months to even get a first-team appearance. And he didn't know whether that was going to happen and whether whatever, but he got it and he learned how eventually, you know, that you have to be patient at Liverpool Football Club. Players of today sometimes are very lucky. If you have one bad game, somebody comes in. And then if he has a bad game, somebody else comes in. You know, they've got squads of up to 30 players and we had squads of 18. 18 players. And in the first season, we only used 14 players.
And you're hearing the names Alan Kennedy's using. Phil Neal, Phil Thompson, Alan Hansen, Graham Souness, Terry McDermott, famous managers, Bob Paisley. It's pretty remarkable. Kenny Dalglish. Talk about him.
Well, I mean, Kenny was everybody's favourite player, including ourselves as well. I don't think there's been anybody, and you know, we can look at the Steven Gerrards of the world, and I want to mention Luis Suarez as well from you know, two or three years ago. Tremendous player for Liverpool. But over that period of time, you know, we had probably five or six great players that played for Liverpool. Three of them were Scottish, you know, a couple of were English, but
you mean foreigners?
Yeah, foreigners, yes. but they epitomised what the game and what Liverpool were all about. They were all about winning. So we set out our stall is to win the game, and we didn't care who scored the goal, and as long as we won, that was the main thing. Dalglish got so many goals, you know, from the likes of Ian Rush, you know, the likes of Graham Souness. We all played together. We didn't really have a system, but we all attacked at once. We all said, right, if we all attack, they can't keep it. They can't keep us out, because, you know, I was a left fullback that played defensive on the left hand side. Phil Neal, you know, scored 59 times for Liverpool, and you know, the likes of Phil Thompson and Alan Hansen, they just did their job. My job was to raid down the left-hand side, score a couple of goals sometimes, and that's what it was all about. So Dalglish would be the catalyst. He'd be the player we'd be playing the ball into to get the return or not to get the return, and he would be bringing everybody into play. Very, very intelligent player. And he had to... I felt sorry for him for when he came down from Scotland, because he had to replace a guy called Kevin Keegan that everybody looked upon as like, you know, Mr. Energetic, Mr. Liverpool, you know, and he was like scoring goals for fun. How can you replace Kevin Keegan?
Boy, he did.
They did it with Kenny Dalglish.
Keegan went over to, what, Borussia Mönchengladbach in Germany, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He went over there.
That was kind of a rare thing, right?
Hamburg, I think it was.
Thank you, you're right.
And then he came back to play against Liverpool, and Hamburg got beat 7-0, if I remember rightly, by Liverpool. And he said, you know, he says, that was on the cards, that he says, you know, I've been away for a year and all of a sudden, like, you do this to me, like, you know. But I have to say, when you leave Liverpool, you move on to your next, you know, station. But at the time, no club in the world were as good as Liverpool Football Club.
Stay with us, because Alan Kennedy is, we're going to have him for another segment here. We'll continue to talk about Liverpool, Alan Kennedy, a legend of Liverpool, in studio here, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Amigo Energy, they want to save you money on energy costs, whether residential or business. It's Amigo Energy, AmigoEnergy.com. They've got the Nights Free program. Look, it's already getting warmer down here in Houston. Alan can attest to that. He's been out there in it, and it's going to get warmer. You want to sleep cooler at night? Sleep cool year-round. Pay no energy charges from 9 p.m. to 7 a.m. Great rates, friendly customer service, and great savings just a few steps away. Amigo Energy, I thank them and Everard Santa Marina for their great support of Soccer on the Radio and helping us interview a great man like Alan Kennedy. We'll take a break. We got more to come.
And he's released Jamie Vardy. And Vardy puts it in the back of the net to end his recent dry run. After six without a goal, it's a huge goal for Jamie Vardy. It's his 20th of the season. He's the first Leicester player to score 20 top-flight goals in a season for 31 years. And more important than that, he puts Leicester within reach of a happy ending to the story of the Premier League.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
You got to love that sound by Jamie Vardy's goal there. It all starts with him with Leicester City and the Foxes. And what a spectacular run this has been. To me, the greatest sports story in the world right now. They've already earned the Champions League place and the Champions League money. And by the way, 1 year here in Houston, coached by a former Leicester star that I'm sure you probably know, Alan, Keith Weller.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I played against Keith on many occasions. Gave me a tough time as well. Good betting into football he was, because he was an out-and-out winger, but great guy. Love playing against, love the challenge again. But you're right about Leicester. What a story this is. It is unbelievable story. Great story. We talked about this, like how good they were at the end of last season. And when Pearson was in charge, you know, was he going to get the sack? Or I think they won 7 out of 8 games or something like that to stave off relegation. And then, you know, he gets the sack, and who they bring in, the Hummin and Haran, is it going to be a local guy? Is it going to be someone else? They bring in Ranieri, and he's just continued the flow. And, you know, what I admire about the whole team, it's what Liverpool did 30-odd years ago, which was probably what Manchester United did, you know, 20-odd years ago in the 90s, because, you know, I have to say that, you know, Ranieri hasn't really tinkered with the team. He's kept more or less the same players on every game, no matter whether it's a cup competition or whatever. But, you know, they're coming so close. But, you know, sometimes you just have this feeling that it might not happen. I really hope it does. But, you know, Tottenham are playing out of their skins. Liverpool played them less than a week ago, and I tell you, they gave Liverpool a really tough game, and it was touch and go who was going to maybe get the winner, but certainly one apiece, didn't disgrace any team. But going back to Leicester, what a team! And I'm so pleased that they've made other teams sit up, and they've made the likes of Stoke City, the likes of Watford, Crystal Palace think, well, hang on, we can do what they did. We're not as strong as them at this moment in time, but it means other teams that you don't think are going to win the league, Give them a chance as well. So it's making the Premier League a lot stronger.
It's healthy. It's refreshing. 9 points, and it'll be theirs. They need three more wins. But I want to go back to Ranieri, because everybody and their mother said this is not the good choice. Even Gary Lineker came out.
And he was not sure. He was like, well, you know, and I think you're scared to say, well, can they do it again? Or, you know, can they keep it going? Mm-hmm. Listen, they were 5,000-1 to win, you know, to win the Premier League.
Put money on them?
Well, I think a lot of people have done. They've put they died in the wool supporters of Leicester City. Yeah. So they have put their money on, and some will have taken the money because they wanted to cash in a little bit. But it's been so good for football. I remember that goal, you know.
It's so healthy, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
And I think from the perspective of the fan and the story and you know, who was talking about Drinkwater and Conte, right? And now Conte is getting a call-up for France. I mean, it's just spectacular.
Yeah, and every player deserves really a medal for what they've done for football, every you know, and including the manager as well. But, you know, when Liverpool played them and Vardy scored this spectacular goal from 25, 30 yards, it was, and even, I have to say, I applauded the shot because it was just wonderful shot, like, you know, and it was great that they played with so much power and purpose, and they're confident in their own ability, and that's what, like, centre halves do their job, goalkeeper does his job, they know exactly
everything to do.
So why can't other teams adopt that policy? Mm-hmm. That's what I would be saying. So that's why that, you know, Alan Pardew, you know, with Crystal Palace and Stoke City, you know, with Hughes, they're good. They're coming up on the rails as well. So they may be thinking, well, you know, we can catch the Manchester Cities, the Arsenals, the Manchester Uniteds and the Tottenhams of the world, you know. Tottenham have surprised me this season. They've got a good manager, but they've surprised me how consistent they've been in beating the top teams and in beating other teams as well and getting results. I thought they'd struggle. I really did think they'd struggle defensively, but they've got it all together, as was witnessed at Anfield, you know, just last week.
Yeah, unbelievable season it's been. And, you know, let me go back to what you had just said a moment ago, that you applauded Vardy's goal. Have we lost some of the sportsmanship side of the angle of the game from your perspective?
Well, I think football has developed that side of the game. You know, players... we talk about going down easily, being touched and not touched, and how does a referee distinguish between a foul and not a foul? Yes, of course, it's changed in 30 years, but, you know, is it better or worse? I have to say, I love the days we played. We talked about Keith Weller, one of the great players of Leicester City. Like, you know, you talk about other players who've, you know, the George Bests of the world, the Rodney Marshes of the world, and of course the Liverpool team of the 70s and 80s. They just played football because they loved it. You know, it wasn't about money. And if that's what the players are looking at the moment, then, you know, they want to be thinking, well, why don't you win a medal? You know, I went to Liverpool to win medals. I didn't go there to be rich, you know. And, you know, consequently, like, other players will be...
But don't you think a lot of guys now platform, they get fat with the money.
Yeah.
And yes, so I'm going to still go out and have a couple of good games, and I'm going to still produce some things, but I'm not going to go... You're tempered by the money, the fame, the riches, and the desire to get to the best, to be the best, might get sort of dulled.
I see. That's where the Leicester team come back for me, because
it's a beauty.
They're not. People will say, "Well, I wouldn't buy him because he's not the best. I wouldn't buy him." But when you put them all together, they're the best team, you know. And whether you got 200 million pounds to spend on a team, whether it's Manchester City, whether it's Liverpool, whether it's Arsenal, whatever. Listen, I'd rather have that type of team for me, because you can work with players, you can make them better. And particularly, you know, I'm not saying, you know, you should go out and buy, you know, a player that costs you 20, 30 million pounds, because it might not work out. But they've certainly put that team together. Now, whether they can keep it next season remains to be seen. But
what do you think happens? Because they're going to get the Champions League money.
Yeah.
They win the Premier League, there's more money coming in. They can keep people there. They can protect their assets. Do you think these guys will say, look, this is where we need to stay because this is where we're comfortable? If I go to a bigger club or what is perceived as a bigger club,
yeah,
it might be a different story for me. Why not stay together and produce as much as we can?
I think a lot of the Leicester City players will stay. And simply because they look upon Leicester as maybe it was never a top four club, but now... You'd have to look at it, if they do win the Premiership, that they are a top four club, and they're a top club in anybody's mind. And come next season, you know, it probably won't be as spectacular as this season, but, you know, you wouldn't rule them out, because they have fight, they have a passion, and that's exactly what you want from players. West Ham were great early season, and their manager was getting the best out of them. They were playing really well. You know, every club has a part of it, and so was Crystal Palace as well. They've come down a little bit now. They've found the level, but, you know, everybody wants to be at the top. Leicester City have found the answer, you know, and it's by hard work and dedication.
My Alan Kennedy joining us here in studio. What a treat this is. So my first year playing professional soccer here in the States, I was roomed with a hardened veteran named Peter Carr. He was 32 years old, and he was on Carlisle and jumped remarkably from the fourth division to the first. So he tells me this story, that And I want you to reflect on this and tell me if you've ever heard this before from other players. He says, once he ran onto the field for his first time ever at Anfield, he just broke into tears. He said, uncontrollably, I couldn't stop the emotion and the flow of tears when I ran on the field to warm up.
I can understand why, because it's very emotional, and you see the cup and it's in full swing with the people, and they've got the scarves, the banners, and they're singing their songs, and it's a wonderful, wonderful sight. There's no doubt about it. And, we've had lots and lots of great players, who've come to Anfield and witnessed the cup and have been emotionally drained by it, because it's so fantastic. And particularly when I was there, when they were standing, you never knew how many people would actually be in the cup, because they just threw them in there. Everybody got in there, so there could be 25,000, there could be 30,000. It was on we talk about it being a mound of earth. But and there wasn't any health and safety in those days, let's put it that like that. Mm-hmm. But it was just a wonderful, wonderful place to be. People will always tell you about the cop, why they stood there, why they stood in that same position, why they shouted for their team, And great players have been influenced by it, you talk about, players of the past who were just wonderful players who've been silenced by the crowd they never stopped shouting, they never stopped backing us, even though we might be winning. I have to say, at one stage, I know a friend of mine tells me the story when he was at Anfield, and he got bored because Liverpool were winning 4-0. Because it happened all the time, and he was like, oh, I suppose we have to clap them. We have to, here we go again. It's another 4-0 victory to Liverpool. It gets boring after a while, my first ever season there. We scored 85 goals and we conceded 16 goals, only four of them at Anfield. And that's, that will never be beaten, as that record will never be beaten. It was wonderful. And so when you're running out, you just know you're going to beat the opposition. That's the thing about it, and that's what I want coming back to Liverpool at the moment. With the current manager being in there, he's got to bring his type of players that want to be and want to play for Liverpool. Certainly, going back to my day and other days, we certainly wanted to play for Liverpool because we wanted to play for the fans. We heard all about them. The fans were terrific. We've got fans here in Houston as well. We've got fans all around the world.
Incredible support with the local supporters.
I believe so, yeah.
Bring you over. I went, they graciously invited me to a game at the Gorgeous Gale, which is the pub that they go to. And, Liverpool jerseys everywhere. I saw Paisley on the
I've
back
just
of
been
a jersey.
With a lovely family.
Yeah.
A great family. And there's three kids, and they've all got their Liverpool tops on. And give
that
them
amazing. The stretch globally. Yeah. Tell me about the 78 debut when you debuted. Just tell me about the day you walked out on that field to play the first time.
Yeah, the first ever game was traumatic for me. And I had to remember that being with these players who've just won the European Cup, it was difficult for me to get my mind focused. I was still, let's say in my head, a Newcastle player. And I was thinking that, what do I have to do? There were no instructions beforehand how to play. Bob Paisley brought you in because he saw you as a development and better than the previous player. So when I got out there, and after touching the sign, it was like, whoa. It's a bit... It wasn't a bit too much for me, but I felt my legs were trembling, let's put it that way. And I felt nervous about the whole situation. And I felt as though, when you get the ball, just calm down. But I never seemed to get the ball. And I was looking for it. And when it came to me, it actually went over my foot out for a throw in. And I thought, well, that wasn't very good. That wasn't very good. And in my mind, I'm still a Newcastle player. Long ball. When Liverpool plays short ball.
Passing game.
And it was like, keep the ball. Oh, I was all over the place, and then, the famous quote, I'm going to quote it to all your listeners, but I went into the dressing room at halftime, and I was sitting there, and Bob Paisley, our manager, came over and he says, Alan, I think they shot the wrong Kennedy in 63. And I just looked at him and I went, oh, thanks. I thought that was a compliment.
That was pretty harsh.
Yeah. He was saying, if you don't book your ideas up, then you're out of the team. Yeah. And that was it. And it was a case of, like, book your ideas up or you're out the team. And consequently, I booked my ideas up and I wasn't out the team. But there was always, can I just tell you, always pressure on you. And going
but
back...
But it was a healthy pressure, right? It helped you
yes,
grow.
Yeah,
it helped you grow your game. Did. It helped push the team on, right?
We had a player called Graham Souness.
Stay with us, Alan, because we got a hard break here real fast, okay?
Okay.
And we'll come back. We'll do a couple more minutes with Alan Kennedy, and then we'll let him go. Check this out, his dossier. 5 First Division titles, 4 League Cups, 3 Charity Shields, 2 European Cups, and I'm sure there's probably a lot more that I didn't even mention. Alan Kennedy is in Houston, Texas, brought here by the local Liverpool supporters group. He's going to be making his way around town. We're going to get him down to the Dynamo game, and he's graciously come up in here in studio to talk to us. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We got more coming up. It's a 7-Up break.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, quick word here for Bud Light. They are tremendous sponsors of this show, and we thank Bud Light for all that they do. And in our next segment, I'll be doing the Game On for 90. And we will again, that will be sponsored by Bud Light. So our thanks to Bud Light for all they do for the game of soccer. I personally thank Bud Light for getting soccer on the radio here. It's very important to support not only the local game, but the international community that we have here in Houston, Texas, that absolutely love football/soccer. 713-780-3776 throughout the night. Again, our thanks to Bud Light for all that they do. Alan Kennedy is in student. He is in studio right now. He is a Liverpool legend. He's in Houston, courtesy of the Liverpool Supporters Group. Just listen to this. He won 5 First Division titles, 4 League Cups, 3 Charity Shields, 2 European Cups. We talked about the 81. Let's talk about 84 in Rome, Olympic Stadium, Liverpool on penalty kicks will beat Roma. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, there weren't any thoughts at the time because I didn't think I was taking a penalty. And Roma were the home team. They had the home advantage there. There were 90,000 people in the stadium. Liverpool only had about 15,000 there behind the bottom goal. So when everything was sorted, we had to take the penalties from the top end, which was at their end anyway. And so they've got an advantage over that side of it. And our manager, Joe Fagan... and when I look back on it, I think, well, he made some good decisions. He made some very, very good decisions. He came over to me and he said to me, "Are you all right?" And I said, "I'm all right." And then he walked off and he went to talk to some other players. And then the players that he'd nominated gave the names to the referee. And I said to my coach, Ronnie Moran, I said, "Ronnie, who's the fifth one?" And he said, "It's you." I said, "Well, how's it me, Ronnie?" Well, he said, "You told the manager you were all right." And I had told the manager I was all right, but the manager forgot to finish the sentence because he was asking me to take a penalty. And I didn't realise at the time he was asking me to take a penalty. So I'd said, "Yeah, I'm all right. Don't worry about it." So anyway, the four guys give the names, and I went over, and I just didn't want to give my name, and I was, you know, and the referee's asking me, "What's your name?" And I was like, "Alan Kennedy," like, you know. He says, "Okay, right, off you go." And then when we started to nominate who was going to take the first one, it was going to be Phil Neal, our regular penalty taker. And then we changed it because Steve Nicholls said he wanted to take the first penalty to get it over with. And we said, "Go on then." Anyway, he took the penalty and missed the penalty.
Went over the top.
Yeah, it went over the top. And I was sitting, obviously, 60, 70 yards away. And I jumped up and went, "Get in there," because I'm thinking they're going to score the first 4 penalties. I won't get a shot, so that'll do me. Mm-hmm. I was happy with that. But the way it worked out was the fact that, you know, we then scored three penalties. They missed two of them through a guy called Graziani and a guy called Bruno Conti. And then...
two huge Italian names.
Absolutely, without doubt, that they bottled it. You know, they skied the ball, hit the crossbar, went over, like, you know...
And both internationals.
Yeah, and to be fair, Bruce Grobbelaar was brilliant at putting him off. He did his wobbly knees and he did what he had to do. He bit the back of the net, he kicked the post, he did this, putting them off, delaying tactics, whatever it might be. And it was absolutely brilliant. So, but nobody expected that to happen, especially Italians. They're cool. They can do what they want. And then it was down to me. So I'm walking forward, like, you know, and then Bruce comes to the side of me and he just looks at me and he just started to laugh. And he said, "Are you taking the fifth penalty?" And I've gone,
"Did he have faith in you?"
I said, "Yeah." He said, "Oh, okay." And he said
was it a shot of confidence or not?
No.
No.
Not
didn't sound
chance.
Like it.
Not a chance. Not a chance. And the rest, I mean, I put the ball down. My legs were absolutely shaking. I just couldn't stop them. And I just said to myself, if you miss this, there's going to be a lot of people after you. Yeah. And it's one of those, you know, don't change your mind. Don't change your mind. So... I was thinking to myself, bottom right hand corner, taking the ball away, being a left footed player, taking mm-hmm. the ball away from the goalkeeper. Well, when I hit the ball, it went in the other corner. So I changed my mind at the last second.
Wow.
So the ball hit the back of the net. Can I just tell you something now? That's the greatest moment of my life. It was unbelievable. And it was like, oh my God. So I peeled away and I was going to do, you know, a big celebration. I did nothing of the sort. And I did what's called, I just had a little bit of a skip. That's all I did. And it was so pathetic, you know, after scoring the winning goal and being, you know, there with your neck on the block and people looking at you going, oh my God, it's him. But I managed to do what a lot of people hadn't done before. And it was just, as I said before, probably the greatest moment of my life.
Olympic Stadium in Rome. They beat Roma. That's the second European Cup for you. And for those of you out there, that's the modern-day Champions League.
Mm.
I got 2 minutes. Give us your thoughts on the current Liverpool. Can you do that in 2 minutes?
Well, it's going to be touch and go this season in terms of like where we're going to finish in the league. I don't think we're really bothered about the league at the moment. I'd love to see them finish with a bit of a flurry and give the fans a bit of a, you know, something to look forward to next season. That's what you want to do. You know, we've got a big game on Thursday against Borussia Dortmund in the Europa League. Beat them and I think Liverpool will have a chance of winning that league. Winning the trophy. Dortmund are without doubt a very, very good team, but don't underestimate them. They're a good team. But I think if Liverpool can consolidate, they can start winning a few games. And they're doing all right. They are doing all right, but just all right. But I think come next season, Jurgen Klopp will say to his team, well, I'm not quite sure about you. I'm not quite sure, but...
Make it more of his team?
More of his team. He needs to get the spine of the team. We talk about the spine of the team. We certainly had a spine back in the 70s and 80s. He needs that. Does he need a new goalkeeper? He's talked about that. Does he need a new centre-half? He's talked about that. A guy who plays in the midfield as well. And of course, a goal scorer. We've got Sturridge there, who's an out-and-out, who's a great player, but... You know, he's too injury prone at the moment. And I don't think the manager fancies other players in the team, Benteke in particular. And he wants to sort of like offload one or two. But listen, he's a great manager, great guy. And I think he'll do well for Liverpool, given the time and the money.
He's brought some great energy to it, that's for sure. Alan Kennedy, what a pleasure it is you being in studio. Thank you very much for all your time here tonight. It was a rare opportunity for all of us, my listeners as well.
Yeah.
And we want to leave you leaving Houston with a great taste in your mouth. So if you're out there and you see Alan at the game against the LA Galaxy, make sure you give him that Houston hospitality. Alan, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Two-time European Cup champion, Alan Kennedy, Liverpool legend. We'll take a break.